Welcome to the No Sports Report, a production of iHeartRadio and Treefort Media. My name is Jensen Karp, and I'm a sports fan. And I guess I like bowling? I don't know. I'm so deep into this quarantine now, everything outside of my house sounds fun. I average a 140 at best. But if you gave me the chance to rent a lane right now, I'd play for like 600 consecutive frames. Hell, anything even remotely close to sounding like sports, I'd be in. Archery, croquet, duck duck goose, whatever. I'm dying here. So I've been talking to athletes and sports industry professionals about what they're doing in quarantine, hoping to figure out if they miss competing as much as I miss watching it. This is the No Sports Report. When it comes to skateboarding, no matter what age you are, one name comes to mind. Lil Wayne. I'm kidding, it's Tony Hawk. I know people say someone is the Michael Jordan of their respective sport a lot, but Tony Hawk truly is the Michael Jordan of skateboarding. The entrepreneur and philanthropist built an empire around a sport he was vital in taking mainstream, putting the X Games on the map, and signing endless sponsorship deals, including one that put his name on a video game that would not only change the gaming industry, but reportedly place his net worth above Larry Bird and Charles Barkley combined. He was the National Skateboarder of the Year 12 years in a row, a two-time X Games gold medalist, a winner of more than 70 events, the most in the history of the sport, and the first person in the world to ever land the coveted 900, still considered the most memorable feat in professional skating to this day. He's also the first and only person to ever skateboard on the grounds of the White House, which I don't see anyone doing again anytime soon. On this episode, I talked to Tony about the state of pandemic skateboarding, the upcoming return of Tony Hawk Pro Skater, and Little Cooper from Georgia and that FedEx guy, and some Police Academy 4 Citizens on Patrol talk for good measure. Excited to have a legend on today's No Sports Report.
Call from
Tony Hawk Pro Skater.
To accept, press 1. Press
Tony, I wanted to ask first where you were quarantined and with who.
I am in San Diego at home with most of my family. So my wife and then three of our boys, two who are home from college. And then my daughter is here half the time. And I'm either here at the home or I'm at my ramp, which is pretty close, just down the street.
That is a lot of kids to have in. I feel like if they're back from college, you at one point were empty nesting, and now...
We were very close, yeah.
You are now a frat house.
Kind of, yeah. They're getting a little more mobility, a little more freedom now to see friends, and suddenly it's like, wait a second, what just happened? Now we have summer camp.
Yeah, it's so weird because I remember coming back for summers to my parents' house while I was in college, and you're like a grown-ass man getting to do whatever you want, and then you're back under the roof of your parents, and you're like, you can't tell me what to do.
Yeah, well, luckily we have enough room that they're relatively autonomous, and so sometimes, you know, we get up in the morning, it's like, wait, what? How late were these guys up? What was going on here?
Right. What are you guys doing to keep busy with everyone in the house?
Well, for the most part, skating, honestly. I usually am traveling quite a bit for what I do. Like I do exhibitions or I do charity work or I do speaking engagements, and all that obviously is on hiatus. So I've just been really, it's been fun because we've been able to spend time with the kids, and I've been able to skate a lot more frequently. And we try to do stuff together. Like we try to have at least dinner together and maybe watch a movie every couple of days. But like I said, for the most part, these guys are autonomous and they're out surfing and hanging out. And we have to make an effort to bring everyone together in one place at one time.
Yeah, I mean, considering you've been a professional skateboarder since you were 14 years old, this has to be the longest you've went without going to an event ever.
Oh, for sure. This is the longest that I've been home straight since I can ever remember.
Yeah,
but it's been nice. Like I it's funny. It feels busier. Because there's a lot of things that I do where I save up, say, emails or interview stuff for an airplane when there's no distractions.
Mm-hmm.
And I realized just recently that I don't have those sort of pauses to get on an airplane and do this stuff. And it feels a lot more frantic because of that.
Sure. Yeah. I mean, we're on one big airplane ride.
Kind of. But because we have our kids, we're trying to prioritize that.
Sure.
And to be present for them. And, you know, I realize that I am very lucky that my job doesn't require me going to a place of business, and that people are really challenged right now. And so I feel lucky that I still get to do what I love. Obviously, the income has shrank, but I wouldn't have it any other way.
And I did see, we've talked to a couple athletes over the span of this podcast that have celebrated a birthday while in quarantine. What did you do for this very strange year?
We just had a day at home. Mm-hmm. The kids were here. My wife said, someone wanted to talk to you and brought me into a room where she basically had this surprise Zoom party with more faces and more people that I've ever seen on one call. That was really fun, super chaotic, kind of almost incomprehensible and in a lot of ways impossible to communicate.
Mm-hmm, yes.
But it was fun to see all the faces looking at each other and just sort of laughing.
Yeah, I can't imagine how we've been able to like have a Zoom call with more than two people ever.
Right. So I would say this was about 40 at a time. Mm-hmm. And people trying to actually talk to each other and have individual conversations. And it just was just noise.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, we do have to talk about the one TV show that is still on the air. It's The Masked Singer. You were a participant this year as the elephant. I was a producer on the first season. So I know what you went through. Tell people how painful that costume was for you.
You know what? I was kind of lucky that my costume was a little more mobile than the other ones. The only part that was difficult was that I had to wear a helmet. Luckily, I wore my own skate helmet, but I had to get it really tight on my head. And then the mask was built around it. So by the end of the first take, I had kind of a headache.
That is actually, to be honest, that is kind of lucky because we thought in season one, we thought we killed Terry Bradshaw at one point. Like he wasn't moving backstage. We figured out he was asleep. Not a joke, by the way. but you did have it easy if that's the most you faced. People don't know. Those things are constrictive.
Yeah, it was really heavy, and it's weird to when you rehearse because you rehearse with such freedom, and so we're doing all these wild moves and stuff, and then when I finally got the mask on, I realized that I have about 50% of the mobility that I did when I was actually practicing these dances, and it really changed how I could do it and how I could sing because I had to sort of fit the microphone way under the mask and hold it in a certain place to get the sound. And it just, you know, it changed the whole dynamic, but I had a blast. It was fun. I can't complain.
Was that just another example of Tony Hawk just challenging himself to do something new?
Yeah, it was way beyond my comfort zone, but I thought, why not? You know, it was a fun idea. I sincerely had hoped that I would be out by maybe the second song because I didn't know how many more I had in me. And so it was a little disappointing to be the first out of my group, but at the same time, I didn't expect to go much further. So it was fun.
Well, kudos to you. Have you been able to keep in touch with skaters, the other guys from the Birdhouse teams?
Sure. Yeah. We have a big group chat going on. And actually one of our skaters, Clive Dixon, he was in the X Games Real Street event. So that's an event where you submit a video of real street skating. And I think that's kind of the only part of X Games that's happening right now. Mm-hmm. And he ended up winning the fan favorite. So there was a lot of celebration going on in the Birdhouse group chat.
Yeah, he's killing it. I assume he's going to be skater of the year, but I was wondering if maybe in the group chat, Jaws is admitting to like baking his own bread or whatever.
Jaws is an enigma. you know, he's sure he's like always on some new projects.
Right.
Playing the mouth harp and making his own food and he's still out there skating quite a bit. So, he hasn't given up that.
Yeah. Like, have you seen skaters adapting on social media during quarantine? Like, is there anything you're seeing that's innovative because of the restrictions we have from the pandemic?
Well, I've definitely seen people making use of their house in ways that I never imagined and ways that either puts them at risk or damages their own property, but it's really creative and it's fun to watch. I am surprised that I haven't seen more footage of people out skating schoolyards and stuff like that, because at its core, that's what skaters do. They hop fences and they go skate. And now, of any other time, is that stuff more available? But I think that the risk factor of getting caught is a lot more now.
Yeah. There's a kid, this is for reals. There's a kid who is down the street from us and he is hopping the fence of the elementary school near us. And he's just playing lacrosse against a wall. And I was like, that seems like you could do that anywhere, kid.
Right. Yeah. Well, maybe it makes him feel like a rebel.
Maybe. COVID-19 has postponed the Olympics, which was going to be the first time skateboarding was included as an event. I know it's somewhat controversial within the genre, but what is your opinion on its inclusion?
I think that it'll be good for the growth of skateboarding on an international level, mm-hmm. in terms of countries finally embracing it and supporting it that maybe have tried to discourage it in the past. I mean, they're not going to reinvent the wheel. We've had skate competitions for the last 40 years, more. So it's not like suddenly they're molding it into something it's not, and it'll just get more exposure. So I don't see the harm in it.
Yeah.
I understand people's concern that somehow this is not the creed of skaters that like to do stuff off the beaten path, kind of against the grain. But at the same time, we've been having big international televised competitions for years now.
Yeah. Will the team be like the USA Dream Team, or is it going to be just, are you guys going to look at it and be like, these guys aren't the top of US charts, you know?
Oh, no, I think the teams are going to be the best.
Okay.
I'm not in part of that process at all, but I think the US team is going to be extremely solid. Some of the best skaters. Brazil is going to be a serious contender. Mm-hmm. Australia. We will have a dream team, but doesn't mean that we're going to dominate.
Oh, amazing. Well, speaking of dreams, you made a lot of kids' dreams come true during the quarantine with one of the biggest announcements in video game history, it seems like, the return of Tony Hawk Pro Skater. Did you expect that kind of response?
I had high hopes, I got to admit, but I didn't expect it to be such a phenomenon. No. I thought there would be a lot of reminiscing and sort of retro nostalgia, mm-hmm. but it seems like there's a generation of people that was their go-to video game, and they are still gamers.
Yeah.
So they're just as excited for this new release. And I think the more exciting thing to me is that it's going to introduce our franchise to a whole new generation.
Absolutely. It is a remastering of the first and second games. I thought the coolest thing when I was reading through this, you took all the original skaters, but you are now putting them in their present day ages. So it's not like they'll be what they were in 99. This is now them in 2020.
Right. But also a lot of that is because they all mostly still skate.
Yeah.
And so it's not like someone has retired and you know, gotten way out of shape. And then that's the version of themselves we're putting in there. That, you know, everyone is still active, healthy, and I thought they should be presented the way that they are and be proud of it. I think including myself.
Yeah, no, it's cool. I mean, I would look like a narc. I'd be like holding the board like, hello, fellow kids. Like I would want me to look younger because I'm like, that's when I was cool. You guys all are cool even now.
Oh, well, thank you.
Yeah. Jack Black was in the announcement video. Does this mean he's in the game?
No, but you know what? He has been a huge fan of the series, mm-hmm. from way back. So he was genuinely excited to know about this happening. And it was funny. I planted the seed with him because I had done a video with him at his house last year. And while we were there, I had to whisper to him, hey, we are actually working on remastering the first games. And he's like, I have to break that news. You have to give that to Jablinski. And so he was the first one to get the info on it.
That's so funny. I mean, I've been noticing too, like the nostalgia for the game is very high, but I forgot how high everyone's nostalgia is for the soundtracks.
Yeah, I mean, that definitely was a surprising element to our games in terms of the sort of impact it had. I mean, I was proud of the soundtrack because I felt like it represented the soundtrack of my youth,
yeah.
in terms of skating and punk music. And then that resonated with people who played it and in a lot of ways it shaped their taste. Some of them shaped their taste in music for their lives. And so they were very adamant about getting a lot of the original tracks in there.
Yeah. I mean, every time I hear Superman by Goldfinger, it's like my thumb gets a blister. Like only know it from the video games, and I know that's coming back. So I'm super excited.
Yeah. I would say that is the, that's the most identifiable song.
Yeah, for sure. When the game originally first came out, there were tricks possible with the joystick that hadn't been performed really in real life at all, and people thought were never possible. And then now skaters do them in real life. That still boggles my mind.
The stuff that I see people come up with, especially with the combos, I mean, it is just THPS, as far as I'm concerned. And when we were doing those combos and when we made those tricks available in the game, it was because we thought, oh, this is just fantasy.
And now they do it.
And now they do it, yeah.
Did you approach the remastering with that in mind too? Are there new tricks in the game that maybe we'll see in the streets down the road?
I think potentially always, yes.
Mm-hmm. That's cool. I'm down. I mean, I'm playing this no matter what, but this is going to be one of those everyone downloads on day one kind of thing. And I get it. The nostalgia, this is my entire college life. So I'm thrilled.
Oh, well, hey, I'm so thankful that people have such a fondness for our series that they want to see it come back.
Yeah.
I'm thankful that Activision was agreeable to try and remaster it and that they put Vicarious Visions on. I mean, that was the clinch, is that when Vicarious Visions got a hold of it, they have such respect for the original series and to keep it at feeling the same and the authenticity, and it was just the right partnership.
Yeah, you don't see them calling Tony La Russa to bring back Tony La Russa baseball. This is a classic game with Tony Hawk. And I know there was a documentary that was going around festivals before COVID about the game. Are we going to be able to see that soon?
I believe so. I think they got a distribution deal. I am not directly connected with that either, which is sort of hard for people to understand.
Yeah.
Because it was made by one of the guys who was on the development team.
Oh, wow.
So he was definitely qualified to tell the story. And I heard they just got a distribution deal. I don't know where it's going to end up, but I hope that people get to see it.
I mean, when you first signed on to this game, I mean, you became a bit of a John Madden, which is like you are 100% the face of video games for skateboarding, same way Madden is for football. Like, did you ever think it could have been a phenomenon?
No, I really thought that the game was going to be embraced by skaters and maybe inspire them to go buy a PlayStation.
Mm-hmm.
And because I thought we represented skating well. It had an authentic feel, tricks, soundtrack, skaters, locations. And skating was not that big at the time when we released it. You know, it was on the way up, but it hadn't really hit the mainstream. And so I think it was just sort of the perfect storm. People were looking for something else. They found that this was fun to play, even if you don't skate.
Yeah.
And then skating was starting to take center stage, like with the X Games, mm-hmm. and it just exploded from there.
And the gameplay, man, the gameplay was just so easy. It was like a pick up and play kind of thing.
Yeah, I mean, that's what drew me to it in the first place. When I went to Activision the first time and played their sample, it was intuitive. I was immediately doing ollies and kickflips, and it was like, oh, this is how we should do it.
After this, more with Tony Hawk. Right now, Feeding America is working tirelessly to ensure our most vulnerable populations, like students who are out of school, the elderly, individuals whose jobs are impacted, and low-income families, continue to have access to food and other needed resources during the COVID-19 pandemic. The Feeding America Food Bank Network is committed to serving communities and people facing hunger in America, and their greatest need is donations and support of local food banks. This podcast is committed to donating a portion of the proceeds from the show to Feeding America, and we hope that you can join us in this effort too. Find out how you can help at feedingamerica.org/COVID-19. Now, here's the rest of my chat with the legend, Tony Hawk. One thing that you have really gravitated towards during quarantine is charity. You normally do a ton of philanthropy, but you've really turned it up over the past 6 months. Let's talk about what Foot the Bill is.
Foot the Bill is a Vans shoes initiative where they're trying to help any of the skate shops or businesses that are related to skating stay in business through these lean times. And so a lot of skate shops were shuttered. And so what they did was they would do a unique design for that skate shop. And if you bought that shoe, then the proceeds would go to the shop.
Oh, wow.
And I got to nominate a skate shop here in San Diego called Witz Carlsbad Pipelines, who was actually my first skate shop sponsor.
Oh, wow.
So they used a picture of me from the 80s with a Witz Carlsbad Pipeline sticker on my board that I used to always run on my tail.
That is very cool.
And they're still in business as far as I can tell. And I think they're going to be open for legitimate business here in the coming weeks. So I was thankful to be able to help.
That's very cool. I mean, you are new to the Vans family a bit, correct?
I am. Yes. Just last couple months.
And are you planning on having your own shoe at Vans, like a Tony Hawk signature?
Not at the time, no. But I'm open for discussion.
All right. Now listen, I look at you as I say he turned a video game into a phenomenon. I'm saying you get your own Air Hawk. Like I see it as a possible Jordan move, you know, after watching The Last Dance.
You know what? I'm happy just wearing the old school high tops too. I mean, those are the first skate shoes I really had as a kid. So it's funny when I put them on, it really sent me back to that time and I got used to them right away.
And it would be amiss of us to not talk about Cooper from Georgia. When we are having this conversation, you are a day out of trending on Twitter and all sorts of Facebook posts about this FedEx guy. For people who didn't see it, a FedEx guy posted a video about an 8 or 9 year old kid who ran up to his truck and said, "Listen, I need you to send something for me." He brings back a beaten up skateboard that just says "To Tony Hawk." He doesn't have a box or any sort of postage. So this guy posts it on, I guess it's at that point, Instagram,
TikTok,
on TikTok. And it gets to you. And what happens then?
So a lot of people, I have a TikTok account, but I haven't been using it recently. And people were tagging me in different social media platforms saying, "Hey, you got to see this TikTok, you got to see this TikTok." So I went over there and saw what Mikhail, the FedEx driver, had posted. And I just thought, "Oh, that's very cool." And so I posted a reply like, "Hey, Cooper, thanks a lot for the skateboard. I'd like to send you mine." And that just exploded. So I actually, just a half an hour ago, was on a Zoom call with him and his family.
Oh, man.
And he was showing me his whole skateboard collection. He was showing me his pets. It was very cool.
I mean, it's so funny because social media can do so much garbage damage. And then you hear a story like Cooper from Georgia, and you're like, this is the best time in American history.
It was pretty cool. It was funny. There was a reality base to it, though, where Mikhail sent me a message on TikTok when he finally saw my reply. And he said, "Yeah, I can send it, but I need your FedEx number."
So cute. I guess I thought about this when I read the story, too. Like, you are like a Santa Claus in a way that you must have so many requests to do things, to appear at places, to get involved in things like this with Cooper. Like, how are you able to really like just work through them?
It's just more prioritizing. Mm-hmm. And I mean, that one obviously just seemed like a lot of fun. It wasn't some charity driven or any reach for publicity. It was just like, oh, people have been seeing this. The least I can do is reply and offer something in return. But in terms of other charities, I just feel like whatever I think will have the most impact that can do the most good. And I most recently did the All In Challenge. And I think that my experience that I offered raised about $40,000 or $50,000 for people who are out of work. So I was really proud to do that. And whatever I can do that will resonate the best.
What was your All In Challenge? What was the experience?
A personal skate lesson whenever we're allowed to all hang out again.
Oh, I hope it's like a 75-year-old woman that won.
Well, I made it very vague. I said, "Look, come out here with you and a guest. I can teach you how to skate, or you can just watch, or you can make suggestions. You can tell me to do a kickflip and I'll do a kickflip."
Oh, that person is 100% looking at you and telling you to do a 900.
Yeah, well, I guess I'll have to make some limitations then.
That video too weirdly got back on the internet this week of you doing a 900 at what age?
48.
Yeah, like that had another life. You have so many viral moments from your career, but they keep popping back up.
Yeah, I guess people don't realize that I'm a few years out from that, so they think that's very current.
Yeah, well, let's let them think that.
That's fine.
Yeah, that's totally fine. We usually like to end each interview with something positive and then some dumb suggestions. So first, let's get into the positive. Is there something that you see during quarantine that we've adapted to that you hope lives on once we're back out into the wild and there's a vaccine and such?
I think an appreciation for the quietness. And I know that it could get monotonous at times, but I feel like the idea that you can be in one place and be content is something that people were kind of forced to reckon with. And maybe they'll appreciate that more going forward, where, you know, take some time out during the day. Just hang out. Hang out with your, talk to your family.
Yeah.
Hang out with your kids.
Oh, no, don't ask me to do that. All right. So some suggestion. You don't need any of these, but I'm going to give you some suggestions for things you could do in quarantine. You tell me what you think. First, this one, the last few weeks have been quite painful for me and my wallet because I've delved into the world of buying vintage shirts on eBay.
That's a good one. I'm always a little creeped out on sort of used clothes, and it's never been my thing.
Well, I don't wear them as soon as they get delivered. I do wash them.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, it depends on truly how cool they are.
Okay, well, now you got me thinking people have murdered people in these shirts.
I think it's because I grew up in a family that we lived modestly, and I had an older brother, and a lot of stuff was hand-me-downs. That kind of gives you PTSD.
Sure. I mean, you're making me think that dead. I'd never even thought of these are dead people shirts. Oh, no.
Why not saying they're dead?
Oh, no. Haunted shirts.
Definitely hand-me-downs, though. They are that.
Well, it's so minimal because it starts with me just thinking to myself, like, can I get a big Johnson shirt in 2020? You know what I mean? And then I bought a TNC surf shirt for like $200. And I'm like, what am I doing?
Okay, you know what? Okay, you got me there. TNC, HIC, yeah, that'd be pretty cool.
All right, good. Okay. And I am on the search for a very good condition Bugs Bunny and Taz with their clothes on backwards, you know, with their arms folded.
Oh, that's a good one.
It's a good shirt.
I ordered a shirt for my wife. It was a Bauhaus shirt from this very specific, you know, sort of vintage place. And they sent me a Betty Boop shirt.
Oh, all right. I'm not mad at that.
So that was pretty cool.
You must have a good t-shirt collection, though, good vintage shirt over the years of skating.
I do, but they're in those vacuum seal bags like you see on the infomercials.
Yes. Yeah. You have a storage war situation going on.
I do, yes.
All right. Secondly, it has been reported that during quarantine, this term was searched 471% more, which is tons. And it's not Andrew Cuomo shirtless. It's a food one. This is the exact term, and I swear, homemade noodle recipes.
I can honestly say that I would never search for that in quarantine or out of quarantine, or even if I was on Iron Chef.
Right. It seems out of my league, but people are doing it to make their own noodles. Obviously, they've been really into making their own bread, so this is just even more carbs. The LA Times wrote about it a few days ago and said it's only two ingredients, which is something also I just don't even think I knew. Flour and eggs and some patience, obviously, all technically made by hand. So I guess you could maybe commit some time and open like an Italian hawk restaurant, maybe. I don't know.
My homemade noodles are Top Ramen. 2 minutes.
I'm with you, sir. I'm a Top Ramen fanatic. All right. Lastly, the entire world, including myself, is so excited for the return of Tony Hawk's Pro Skater, obviously remastered, reworked for 2020 standards and technologies. And my idea involves bringing another one of your masterpieces back and suiting it up for its return. I want to see the 2020 remaking and remastering of Police Academy 4 Citizens on Patrol.
Well, you know what? I was only a stunt double in that movie.
Mm-hmm.
So you're going to have to see if David Spade will agree to be in it, and then I can double him again.
Well, that was the thing. By the way, young David Spade in Citizens on Patrol, which is technically Tony Hawk while skating, is a pretty good portrayal of a skater.
He was a skater.
Yeah.
He got hired for that, not only because he was a comedian, but because he was genuinely a skater.
Oh, was he good?
Yeah, he was all right. Like, he could skate pools and things like that. So he walked the walk, for sure. But I don't know if you know this, but the backstory of that is that from the time I got hired to do the Police Academy mm-hmm. to the time we shot, I went through a growth spurt. And so when I finally got to Toronto where we shot at, mm-hmm. I was already much taller than David.
Yeah.
And so after a week of filming, they fired me.
No way, because he's shorter than me. He's probably, what, like 5'5", 5'6". You are how tall?
Well, I'm 6'3" now, but I was just starting to grow then.
Oh, no. But you had already been in, like, Thrashing and Gleaming the Cube. You were already in a bunch of stuff.
Sure, but I was being hired as a stunt double.
Right, right.
And so at some point, they were watching the dailies, and I remember the director, he didn't know I was in the room, director yelling, like, okay, that guy's a good skater. He is a terrible stunt double.
Right. This is also, they hired, it's like putting Michael Jordan in his Teen Wolf during the basketball scenes. It's like they really went all out.
They did. But they ended up hiring Chris Miller, who was a prominent skater then.
Yeah.
And looked a lot more like David to replace me. But the funny thing is if you watch the movie, Chris is regular footed. I'm goofy footed. So David's stance changes sometimes in shots.
That's really funny. Who knew? Citizens on Patrol. I'm now going to have to watch for continuity.
Yeah, those are your Easter eggs.
Well, I'm so happy I got to speak to you, Tony, and all the great work you're doing, and stay safe and healthy and excited to get you back out to those skate events.
Thank you very much. My pleasure.
The No Sports Report is produced and distributed by Treefort Media. The show is executive produced by Kelly Garner, Lisa Ammerman, Matthew Kugler, and me, Jensen Karp. Tom Monahan is our senior audio engineer and sound supervisor, with production and editing by Jasper Leek. Additional production help from Tim Schauer, June Rosen, and Haley Mandelberg. Our theme music is composed by Spilkas. If you've enjoyed what you've heard, please subscribe, rate us, and review us on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to podcasts. And please visit feedingamerica.org. If you're able to make a donation, any amount makes a difference, and you can learn more about other ways you can help on their website. For more information on the No Sports Report, links to the socials, and for show transcripts for our hearing impaired listeners, go to treefort.fm. Be safe and be well. The No Sports Report is a production of iHeartRadio and Treefort Media. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows.